the human being and his body, the body of the human being, if we look at medical research and analysis, we see that the human being's body, physically, the balance of the body, to maintain balance and to save ourselves from illness, to have the strength to save ourselves from illness, all of this is relying on the vitamin and nutrient system. There are different types of vitamins that are within the body of a person. And if there is less or more or the right amount, this is what dictates the balance of a human being. So if there are less vitamins than necessary, then a person gets unwell. Different illnesses come about. To control the illnesses and the diseases medically, doctors have advised to keep the balance of vitamins, or vitamins are then extra vitamins are prescribed to bring the balance back to normal so that health is maintained. Now, if the balance of the vitamins and nutrients, etc., is not correct, is not maintained properly, then the number of illnesses or diseases can increase, and then different effects take part on the body of a person. You can get, for example, cancer, you could get tuberculosis, and there are many hundreds or thousands of illnesses, diseases that can affect a person. But the human being continues to move about and he doesn't feel or isn't aware of the illness until the, for example, imbalance gets a bit too much to bear, and then the person goes to the doctor. But if a person was to do a checkup regularly, keep tabs on the health, etc., then the person is okay, maintains himself properly. Now, I'm not presenting to you sort of a medical report or analysis, but because our body is an important part of our life, our physical body, in the same way we will look at it from the angle of the ruh, the inner self and the spirit. Just way the physical body of a human being needs to be strong or healthy, the same way the ruh should be strong and healthy. Even if the body is weak, but if the ruh is strong, that's the important thing. The body is just like air, you could say, like a balloon. That's not really the genuine thing. It's the ruh that is the genuine article. If the strength of the ruh stands firm, then what can oppose the ruh? The inner self, the soul of a human being. It's just that we maintain or emphasize nowadays on the zahir, external self of a person. Oh, he's big, he's got a strong punch. But if you take a punch from a person who's spiritually strong, you won't take the physical punch of a fist. Rather, just by the look of that person, you can see the seriousness and the quality of that person's character. So just like we emphasize on the body, and we say that the body needs vitamins to be healthy, and then the body will carry out the functions properly. So you have to eat and drink and revitalize the body. In the same way, the ruh, the soul, needs vitamins, it needs nutrients, it needs energy. And then if we give that energy to the ruh, then it will work properly. But if we don't give the energy to the ruh, then it will get ill. There will be diseases and illnesses and problems of the ruh, of the soul, of the heart, of the inner self. And then that will give off negative effects. Now, the illnesses of the ruh, of the soul, have a different form. When the ruh becomes weak, when the soul becomes weak, the heart becomes weak, then there's a sign. Just like when the body becomes weak, you can't eat, drink, you're lacking energy, you get dizzy, you go to the doctor, there's a problem. But it's sad that the illness of the ruh, we don't emphasize on this. And this is a very dangerous thing. The sign of this, I will tell you today, that we need to look at our ruh in the mirror. We need to analyze and measure, is my ruh strong? Is it weak? Is it in a medium scale? If it's not strong, I need to cure the weakness of my ruh. Otherwise, if I don't do that, then akhirah, my death and my hereafter, will tell me how my ruh was. So it's better that before that time comes, it's very, very important that we realize what is the state of affairs with regards to my ruh. For example, body, we research and go to manuals and journals and understand about health and well-being. Now, the illness of the ruh, what is the sign? Just like when the body is ill or unwell, we have signs. A person won't have an appetite, will leave eating, reduction in eating food and drink. So when the ruh becomes weak, the soul becomes weak, then the vitamins or the sort of inner state of the body becomes imbalanced, then what will be the sign of that? Now, the sign of the illness of the ruh, when it becomes unwell, what does it do? It starts to sin. the person starts to practice sins. He has no strength, or she has no strength. Shaitan becomes stronger. The ruh becomes weaker. Enemy has become stronger. Shaitan. Then how can the ruh prevent or ward off shaitan? He has no energy, no strength, no vitamins. So shaitan becomes stronger, wider, bigger. And the nafs, that our desires-based desires get fatter and bigger. And then we go towards the sin. So when we see this sign is increasing, getting stronger, I'm going more towards sins, I've got a desire to implement sins, and I'm bowing to the sins, and I'm not stopping. Rather, the sins are increasing, or they are staying the same. Sometimes I do sins openly, inwardly, hidden in the darkness in front of people, or in Ramadan, or away from Ramadan, or I'm going on Hajj, but I'm a sinner. So ibadat will not stop the sins. How? Because ibadat don't give the vitamins to the ruh to stop a person sinning. If we don't feed the ruh with the vitamins, I've not told you yet what the vitamins are. We need these vitamins. We need these nutrients. We need these supplements to strengthen the ruh. So when the balance of a body, physical body, is imbalanced, then the doctor says, here's a prescription, take these medicines, you'll be fine. So when the ruh is unwell, who will prescribe the medicines to the ruh? They are physicians, they are consultants, they are doctors, the walis of Allah. We have to go to the wali of Allah. And that, wali of Allah, I'm not stopping the sins. My life is getting spoiled. My hereafter is going to get spoiled. So you can take as much worship as you want, but if you got ghibat, it will spoil your deeds. If you backbite somebody in the hereafter, will take your deeds. If you lie, somebody will take your deeds. If you backbite, somebody will take your deeds. If you slap somebody, somebody will take your deeds. Fair enough, you go on Hajj and Umrah and you read Quran and recite pray Salah in the night, but somebody may take all of my deeds in the hereafter. So I need a cure so that I can leave the sins, and so that I don't exchange my deeds in the hereafter. Whoever wants the cure, say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. MashaAllah, a tree has been erected for each one of us in paradise. MashaAllah, look at the cure of the ruh, the soul, the heart. So whoever is sinning, and there's nobody here who's sinning, because I am the worst here, sat in front of you. The biggest sinner is myself, who commits the sins. You are, mashallah, pious people, good brothers. So I am desperately in need of the cure, the solution. That what vitamin shall I take that will bring me back to proper balance, so that I can ward off the sins and take them far from me. So the balance, the state of equilibrium, or to get better than that, is that when the ruh sins or wants to sin, then the solution that we need to go towards is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is it? The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person has less love for Allah, then he will go more to the sins. If a person doesn't have love of Allah, then that person, he or she, will go to the sins. The more the ruh is weak, the more sins that will be implemented. So what do we see? What's the sign? The strength of the ruh is the love of Allah. The question doesn't arise, says the Quran and Allah, that if you love me and you implement sins, Allah says, where my love is existent, then your ruh will be strong. And if your ruh is strong, then how can shaitan influence you to go towards sins? He cannot even come near to you. The question doesn't arise. Because your ruh, your soul, will have the love of Allah, and it will make you dislike sins, hate sins, go far from sins. So what we realize is that when we sin, the reason for this is that we don't have the love of Allah inside us. We claim it. These are false, empty claims. False and hollow claims. A genuine claim of Allah's love, that will prove that a person doesn't sin. Why do I disobey Allah? Why do I commit sins? So let's think, each and every one of us, on our own level, that where am I? Let's take the companion. The companion, the radiallahu anhu, came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, he was already in the gathering. And he presented a very good question, subhanAllah, very good question. And such sinners like us, and for the whole ummah, this is a cure. This is a cure for us and the whole ummah. Let's listen to this carefully and have regard for this. And this sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please give me nasiha. SubhanAllah, say SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. Now, did nasiha, if the nasiha goes to this companion, radiyallahu anhu, then it will go to the whole ummah, the nation of the Muslimin, whose Rasulullah's statements weren't there to be hidden. Even if we speak in the darkness, it's hidden until Qiyamah. But the Prophet, even if he spoke in the darkness, it was printed until Qiyamah in such kitabs that those kitabs cannot be wiped away. Such imams and muhaddithin were created in the ummah. Day and night, their job was to promote and propagate the hadith of Rasulullah, propagate, spread. One's coming, one's going, one's coming, one's going. Allah gave such guidance. One Shaykh of the least came.
came, who will come? Then another greater scholar after that comes. Imam Malik went, Imam Shafi came, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah came, such great mujtahideen, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. Names you keep counting and mentioning until Qiyamah with the fadl of Allah. Who did Allah Ta'ala prepare for? That my Habib, my Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his every word, action, statement will not stop, will not cease, will carry on till Qiyamah. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرُكَ. And this is the height, the glory of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every day we hear a new hadith, a new learning, a new statement. There's analysis and there's debates and discussion and dissemination of deen. Muhaqqiqeen, mufassirin, muhaddithin, when they mention hadith time and time again, every day there's a new ma'arif, a new irfan, a new closeness to Allah that is attained. So this is not the journey where we're going to stop. One sahabi is sitting, companion, radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, and he presented a question. He made a request, Ya Rasulullah, please give me a nasiha, give me some advice. Imagine the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the merciful Nabi, his nasiha will be so valuable. Open your ears, open your hearts, and embrace this nasiha, and we will all be successful, all of us, if we do this. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he gave a brief, concise, it was a concise question, and more concise than that was the nasiha. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encapsulated the whole deen within the small, concise nasiha. Go take this. Whoever has sincerity and khawf and fear of Allah, and has regard and love over Allah and his Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wants to correct himself, is not playing a drama game in his life, is not a liar, is a sadiq, is a truthful, honest, and knows that his death is about to come, then if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us nasiha, alhamdulillah. Advice, whoever does amal, practices on this, praise be to Allah, he will leave this world with iman and will go into paradise. Definitely. Definitely. So what did Rasulullah ﷺ say? Very short, very concise and simple cure. Simple cure on a system of simplicity, ease. So Rasulullah ﷺ said, look, whenever you carry out an action, now listen clearly, brothers, this is the solution, brothers, sisters, everybody, this is the solution. Whenever you carry out an action, these are the words. Any action in life, anytime, anywhere, anytime, any moment. Whenever you carry out an action, then think when you're carrying out that action, that that time, just before or whilst you are doing that action, think that the action I'm doing, whilst I'm implementing that deed, that is this action that I'm doing or saying, is this going to come into the realm of disobedience to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That's it. So I have to ask myself, every action, every second, whatever action I'm doing, am I doing this action that I'm doing, or this statement, these words that I'm speaking, in this, is there any disobedience to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This action I'm doing, am I disobeying Allah? Am I disobeying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? If I make this the basis of my lifestyle, alhamdulillah, he or she won't be a normal person. Rather, he or she will be muttaqi, fearful of Allah, aware of Allah. What else is left? What else is needed? Tell me. If every action of mine in life, every action, and everything means everything, 24/7, 24/7, from morning to night, we're carrying out actions. You're not empty. Even sleeping is carrying out action. Waking up is an action. Sleeping is an action. Every action, every second, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, all your life, whenever you do an action, think every second that this moment in time, whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm saying, that am I disobeying Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You're at home, you're with your wife, your children, or you're sitting with friends, you're with your relatives, associates, you're on a business trip, you're in the masjid, you're outside the masjid, you're on the road, you're on the pavement, you're in a business place, you're phoning someone, contacting someone, you're friendship with somebody, you're going to a wedding, any, you can say, contract or transaction of life, when you are carrying out that action, you have to think that in this action, am I disobeying Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Am I, from your body, physically, to amal, to action, to practice, to words, totally, we have sealed ourselves within this bubble, within this boundary, and seal, that am I carrying out orders in accordance with Allah and His Rasul's pleasure? If I'm disobeying them, then straight away that will give me the answer that I'm going to get punishment. Barakah will go, blessings will go, adab will start. I'm disobeying Allah now, this is not right. If you're taking something, buying, selling, borrowing, giving back, or now just think for a moment, or I've taken too much, or I am exceeding the rights of my rights and usurping the rights of the other person. For example, if I'm buying and selling or doing some trade, I have to ask myself, am I disobeying Allah here in this action? I won't lie, I won't commit fraud, I'll be sadiq and honest and be an honest businessman. I'm safe from the sins, aren't I? I'm safe, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. So it's very easy method for life. Very easy, madam. We get a big maqam. And according to this principle, we should live our life. Every footstep, every word, every statement, every action, every physical implementation is on this basis that Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, am I disobeying Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in what I'm about to do? And this will give us eternal success. These are the vitamins that we needed, and we will fulfill that imbalance. We will come away from imbalance. This condition, this issue, this problem to come about to this position. How can we do this? How can I have complete and constant awareness of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? These are the vitamins we need. These are the nutrients I need. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that these vitamins and nutrients, you need to consume this, but you can't come to this position. I've told you the emotion and the feeling, but how many people can do this? Only those people can do this who have the full balance of vitamins, nutrients and supplements. The person who doesn't have the nutrients and vitamins in his ruh, in his soul, it will be hard for him to think this condition. So here the subject doesn't end. So here Rasulullah told us that how can my body come to the point of balance? How will it come mentally and physically to the point that every action I do? So first Rasulullah told us the criteria that every Muslim's life should be on this success criteria basis, that not one second of my life should pass wherein I am displeasing Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is principle number one. This is called success criteria. So the success criteria for the life of a human being is that every second of a human being's life should be in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So how do I get to success criteria number one? Then I need to think of success criteria number two. Success criteria number two is that my ruh needs to be strong and full of vitality. For example, if I say, oh, can you pick up this weights bar, please? So I have to think, have I got the energy, the power to pick up this weights bar? So the Prophet ﷺ has told us the cure to be able to pick up the weights bar. The weights bar is that every action should be in accordance to the sunnah and Allah's obedience and pleasure. So how do I pick up that weights bar of Allah's obedience and pleasure and the sunnah of Rasulullah? So straight to where Rasulullah ﷺ told us, point number two, success criteria, that be careful, that here we need to listen. How do we bring ourselves around to do that? وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كُلِّ حَجَرْ وَشَجَرْ Subhanallah. Straight away in parallel, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كُلِّ in the كُلِّ حَجَرْ وَشَجَرْ. That what should be the situation with us is that we here the word isn't kathira or dhikr kathira. In a different method, a different style, Allah Ta'ala is mentioning the emphasis and the importance of dhikr. This is higher than kathira and kathira. That you should be so much a dhakir and a person doing dhikr and remembrance of Allah, that every hajar wa shajar, every rock and leaf, whatever, wherever you pass in the world, that you should be doing the dhikr of Allah wherever you are in the world. Wherever you are in the world. Wherever and whenever you are passing by anywhere, you should be doing the dhikr of Allah, remembering Allah. So this is more over and beyond kathrat, abundance. Hajar wa shajar. Now here a little bit I want to delve into a bit of detail. Now hajar and shajar, we just understand one thing, isn't it? We think that hajar and shajar are the rocks and the stones and the trees or some branch. Yeah? Or some brick or rock. And shajar, the greenery, plants, trees, every tree that we pass, that we should be doing dhikr of Allah. And now, we don't pass a tree every second. How many of you have passed by a tree today? Many people have driven in a car or gone on a pavement where there are no trees or roads. So what do we understand? These are hadith of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to tell us how to attain ma'rifah. So this is the treasure. Allah ta'ala has sealed this subject. Allah ta'ala says that there will be two parts to a person's life if you do dhikr of Allah. Hajar, that either you will be related to something or touching something with which is linked to rocks or stones or soil. Yeah, or something that's related to greenery, plantation, vegetation. Is there anything in the world that is not constructed out of rocks or stones or dirt or soil? Look at our houses, our shops, our masjids. So masjids all will be constructed out of wood and stone or cement. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us. Look at the ma'rifah and the depth and the foresight and the vision in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first time we think like this, what we realize, wherever we are in the world, car, house, building, structure, pavement, home, wherever. Everywhere there's in the materials of construction, there's a combination of cement or stones or pebbles or soil or vegetation or woods or wood or plants. So, alhamdulillah, so much a person should be doing dhikr that not a square millimeter of area in the world should be devoid of a dhakir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Why is Allah ta'ala said this? For this reason, because Allah ta'ala's dhikr, Allah ta'ala's remembrance is one action, the only action that has that quality. Because every action has a quality. Every action of people has a quality. And Allah ta'ala has kept the quality in his dhikr that through the dhikr of Allah, a person earns muhabbat of Allah in his heart or her heart. So what does the dhikr of Allah do? It results in the love of Allah being created and increased in the heart. More dhikr a person does, the more the love of Allah ta'ala comes in the heart. This is the vitamins. These are the vitamins we need for our ruh, isn't it? Allah ta'ala's love, his muhabbat, his regard, his respect, his glory, his awe, his esteem. So this starts to increase in the heart. The more dhikr a person does, the more he remembers or she remembers Allah, the vitamins increase in the heart, the nutrients increase, the supplements increase, then the ruh becomes stronger, and then the question doesn't arise that the person physically will do any sins. Easy, isn't it? So that's why we do dhikr of Allah. That's why we emphasize on dhikr of Allah. That's why the awliya Allah, the walis of Allah, prescribe dhikr of Allah. That's why the dhakir, man and woman, on the day of judgment, on the plain of Hashr, their faces will be shining like the moon on the 14th night. Subhanallah. So in the world, they will fulfill their rights. They will have no sins with the fadl of Allah. They will have no sins. They will wipe away the sins before they depart from this world. Their ruh will be so strong that their faces will be glowing and shining like the moon on the 14th night. Do you know the plain of Hashr? What it will be? What will be the situation on that maqam? The dhakir will be so satisfied that his face will be glowing and dripping with noor. The people will be watching them. That's why we do dhikr of Allah. That's why we do the Quran. Now you experience this. As you keep on doing dhikr and dhikr and dhikr, there's no need to tell anybody that even if you haven't told anybody the sin, you will start to dislike that sin yourself. And that's why the pious elders have stated that the sign of dhikr is this, that the person who's seen that my dhikr has been accepted and I'm succeeded and I'm doing right, he can reflect on the state of his sins. Am I disliking sins? Do I hate sins? Am I running away from sins? And my life is coming towards Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah's hukam, the obedience to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he doesn't need to hear wais or lectures or speeches. So he doesn't need this. He doesn't need instruction. Khud, his ruh will make him do the good actions. His ruh will not be satisfied. If you do a sin, your ruh will not be satisfied, because the ruh doesn't like sin. And when your ruh doesn't like sin, then how can you carry out that action? The question doesn't arise. Your hands will stop, your body will stop, your eyesight will stop. You will desire yourself. Shaitan and nafs will say, go to sin, do the sin, carry out the sin. But your ruh will be so strong, it will slap the shaitan. It will slap the nafs and say, no, go away from you. For a few moments, your ruh, your nafs, your desires will feel like and take you towards sins. I'm talking about the dhakirin. Even the dhakirin will have an attraction, a temptation. Oh, it's okay, brother, sister will say, oh, let's do it. There's thousands of chances, it's darkness, there's a chance to do this now, there's a benefit. Thousands of opportunities in life, we think, yes, let's do this sin. And shaitan, he takes that person towards the sin. It's okay, do it. No difference will be made. You can do this action, you'll be fine. But alhamdulillah, the ruh is so strong at that time, that as soon as the temptation, attraction comes, the ruh slaps the shaitan. And then nafs says, no, be gone with you. And suddenly the eyes are open, and then the person does istighfar, repentance. And the ruh becomes so strong that how does the ruh get happiness and contentment and satisfaction? Through the ibadat, worship of Allah. That's when the person feels enjoyment in salah, in praying. Nobody will tell that person, but he starts to enjoy nawafil, voluntary salah. Alhamdulillah, he'll go towards nawafil, tahajjud time, his eyes will open, and he'll feel that I want to recite a bit of Quran. Okay, look, we're sat here, let's do a bit more dhikr, etc. So he starts to speak to his ruh, to his soul, the person. He's in exchange. He's in communication with the ruh. Look at your feelings and emotions. So when you have these feelings and emotions, alhamdulillah, this is the dalil, the proof that this person now has got the love of Allah. He's got the love of Allah. He's attained the love of Allah. We just walk around and say empty, hollow claims that we've got the love of Allah. Do we do the things that Allah Ta'ala wants us to? Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. That you are claiming that you love me. You're saying that you do worship. You worship me. But if you worship me and you say you love me, Allah says you're claiming this, then give me the dalil, Allah Ta'ala says. Give me the proof to fulfill your claim. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. That every claim has a dalil. Now we are claiming that we love Allah. That's why I'm praying salah. I love Allah. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Allah Ta'ala says, totally fine. This is not the dalil of doing ibadah. This is not the proof of my muhabbat. that the proof for my muhabbat, Allah Ta'ala says, I've prescribed myself. That if you're saying you're doing dhikr and you love me and your soul is clean and pure, and you're saying that you're worshipping me and that you love me, Allah says, no, it's not enough. My dalil is what? Fattabi'uni, say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِئُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah says, these are empty claims without the dalil. What is the proof of your claim? فَاتَّبِعُونِي, that you have to imitate and follow my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Follow his sunnah. Implement his sunnah sharifa. Whoever follows the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if a person's lifestyle is in accordance to the sunnah, that is the sole proof that that person loves Allah. Allah says that in the world and the hereafter, there's only one proof I'll accept, that when you come to me in the akhirah and you present yourself to me and say, Allah, I loved you and I did this action X, Y, Z. Allah says that, did you do this action for me? And he will say, yes, and I did it for you. Allah will say, give me the dalil. Give me the proof. You had not one iota atom's weight of love for me, Allah will say. You didn't love me. I don't know why you did all this ibadat and worship and deeds. What was your maqsad? What was your intention? Allah says, if you really did love me, then your proof should be here today to prove this. فَتَّبِعُونِي, then you would have followed the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from your external to your internal, zahir to your batin, from outward to internal. Totally every second of your life would have been implementation of the sunnah. You were just worshipping your desires. Sometimes you prayed, sometimes you didn't pray, sometimes your face, your libas was like this, your appearance was this or that, etc. You are different. You used to do different things. Sometimes you practice, sometimes you didn't practice. Allah says, if you had my love, then you would have been consistent and steadfast. How can it be, Allah says, that you are saying you love me and you don't imitate my Habib, the Muhammad, my Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Allah says, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, means this is the promise you made. You recited the kalima. I said to you that you will obey me in the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I said, I took a promise from you, my first requirement from you, and you wasted your time. So there are two things here, three things that we get nasiha here, my friends. Number one, Allahu Akbar, that we need to do tajziya of our life. We need to reflect on our lives. That is my life in accordance to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah? Have I saved myself from sins? Have I left the sins? If this is not the case, then totally accept that there's lacking, love is lacking in our life. We don't have love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have nifaq and hypocrisy inside us. We are liars. And because the secret will unravel and the world will continue, then this is proving to us, zahir, my sins are proving that in my home I'm doing something else. With my children I'm something else. Outside I'm different else. I make different decisions. At home I make Islamic decisions. Outside I make un-Islamic decisions. So this proves that inside me I don't have that consistency. And I don't have the strength that I can ward off sin and evil. So number one, if I'm not leaving the sins, then this proves that I don't have the love of Allah in my heart, in my soul. The cure for this is abundance of dhikr. Be quiet, take all of the cure, be consistent. Dhikr of Allah regularly, steadfastly, daily, as much as possible. And through the dhikr of Allah, then with the dhikr of Allah, alhamdulillah, in parallel, then we need to reflect on our lives practically, that how much am I disliking sins now? Am I hating sins now? How much do I love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his sunnah? How much love do I have, and how much amalan has this come into my life? And as it comes into my life more and more and more, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, I should do shukr to Allah, be grateful that I should say, ah, yes, the love of Allah is coming to me now. The love of Allah has come to me. And this is, my brothers, the sign that Rasulullah has prescribed to us. And this is the hukm, the order, the nasiha that the sahabi requested. That in every statement, in every deed, am I doing this action according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah? Am I fulfilling their orders and am I being Islam? And if I say, no, what difference does it make? I'll do it some other time. Then this is not success. This is not the life of a mu'min. This is a fraud and a deception and a delusion that will unravel on the hereafter. Let's do dua to Allah that Allah ta'ala gives us these words in the hadith and the Quran, and the direction that we understand it, just like we hear the Quran. Let's bring this into our heart and bring it to amal and practically to our lives, so that in the akhirah we are successful. When we die, our graves, hashar, plane of resurrection, day of judgment, to protect us in these phases, let's practice those hadith through which the Prophet has given us the cure. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.